Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893. Or go online to prayer@yeshome.com. prayer@yeshome.com. You can email or text that. However you do it, let us know what your need is today, and we'll pray for you on the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, by the way. And a reminder that we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. Don't let that hinder you from getting the prayer that you need if you're thinking, oh, you know, it's kind of personal, private, or whatever. Well, that's okay. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in or text in. You can. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. We just want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. Use that number, 419-389-0893. That is the Prayer Closet number. Or email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you and to lift up each other and to bear one another's burdens together, to show our care and love for each other by praying for one another. And we pray, Lord, this day that you will move with power and strength and might in our hearts and in the hearts and lives of the people who call and text in, who share in their needs. Lord, as we work to meet them, as we work to lift them up before you and pray for them, Lord, that you will show your love and grace and mercy, show your power and might, and you exercise it through them for your glory. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we like to, first of all, get into the Word of God and to help get our minds set and our hearts focused for prayer. And we've been looking at the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 4 today, up to verse 9. As he's writing the Thessalonican church, and a church that Paul helps to start but had to leave early on in the process because of persecution. So he's writing back to them to kind of, a letter of encouragement to hear about all the good things he's heard about them, but also to give some instruction to them that he had not had time to do before. And so we pick it up in verse 9 of chapter 4. It says this, "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." So a call for them to show brotherly love, and a call for them to live quiet lives. I find this an interesting passage because it, in some ways, it's kind of contrary to some of the things we hear today, especially the second part. The first part, I think, is pretty, I want to say standard, I don't want to minimize it, but, you know, pretty straightforward Christian teaching that we're to love each other. And Paul's writing this to remind them of this command. Not that they need reminding because they're not doing it, but even in the process of doing it, he wants to encourage them to do it even more, to grow in that. He acknowledges that they are loving each other. They have a reputation of being a church that loves one another and indeed have shown that love to all the churches and all the believers throughout Macedonia. So Paul's not writing to say, hey, you need to really kind of shore this area up. You're not doing a great job of showing love for the brothers. There's something wrong here and we need to get this taken care of. No, they're doing it. They're living it out. Paul's simply writing to say, I love that the fact that you're living this out, that you're showing love to one another, continue to do so, more and more do so, to share this love. He wants them to grow in it. He wants them to continue to experience it and continue to give it. And we've seen this before in this letter where he commends them for doing something and then says, now I want to see you grow more and more. You know, this idea that we never really arrive in our Christian walk. We're always growing, always doing more. There's always room for us to get better. There's always room for us to mature. There's always room for us to improve. We've not yet been perfected in love, and that is our ultimate goal, to be perfect. If you read about some high-level athletes, basketball players, football players and stuff, people at the very absolute top of the game, you would think, oh, these guys got it. You know, they've learned everything there is to know. They know everything there is to know, and they've got it. But if you study them, what you find out is they're always working to improve. Always working to improve. The great Hall of Fame basketball player Isaiah Thomas played for the Pistons and was one of the best players of his generation. Great point guard. Hall of Famer. Won championships. And, you know, the zenith of his career. I remember reading an article about him and how he talked about how every offseason he tried to add something to his game. Every offseason he said, okay, I want to add this. I want to get better at this. I want to improve this. That he was never satisfied with where he was. He was always trying to grow. And that's what Paul's telling to the Thessalonians here. You know, he didn't do that because it's like, oh, my game's not very good. And if I want to stay in this league, I better add this kind of shot or add that kind of shot. He was an all-star. He was an all-pro. He was winning championships. He was one of the great players of his generation. His place in the game was secure. He wanted to get better because he knew he just wanted to be better. He wasn't, his game wasn't everything it could be, and he didn't want to stop until it was. And our walk with Christ is not any different than that. Paul's writing them saying, you know, don't be satisfied. I hear great reports. I know you're loving the brothers. I know you're showing love for one another. That's awesome. But don't be satisfied with that. Try to do it even better. Try to do it even more. Grow in it. There's always room for us to grow in the Lord. And that's not, we don't say that to say, you know, that we're doing poorly. You know, these elite level athletes, guys like LeBron James and Tom Brady and whoever else, who are always working to improve their games. These guys are all world, Hall of Famers, all-time greats. Nobody ever looked at him and say, yeah, he's a bum. He's not good enough. And yet, even at that level, they still feel, I can do more. I can be better. And that's that same kind of mindset that we're to have. Not a defeatist mindset of, oh, I'm not very good. I better sharpen it up. But even when we're doing well, to say, now, how can I grow in this? How can I do even better in this? Boy, you know, my prayer life's really been on fire lately. How do I continue that? How do I grow in that? I feel like I have just so many opportunities to witness to people and share my faith. How do I grow in that? How do I get better at it? We always have room for improvement. We always have room to grow. And we should embrace that as a challenge, not as a defeat, but as a recognition we can always be better than what we are. And God is calling us to grow and mature in that. So that's Paul's first part, is let us grow. You have this great love for each other. I love that I see it among you. Grow in that more and more. Don't be satisfied. Don't become content with that. Grow in it. And then he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business and to work with your own hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and you will not be dependent on anybody. Notice that Paul's not saying, hey, live a radical life to go out and change the world. I mean, isn't that what he's supposed to be saying to them? Because that's what we hear. I mean, you go to the Christian bookstore and stuff or whatever, and it's all about books about being radical and changing the world and turning everything upside down. And yet Paul says none of that. Paul says, lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business and work with your own hands. I don't think that Paul is saying here, be invisible, right? Because we're to be a light upon the hill. We're to shine the light of our faith out into the world. So I don't say, hey, hide that faith, put it under a bushel, be quiet, don't let anybody see you, fly under the radar. That's not what he's saying when he says lead a quiet life. Doesn't mean that we can't challenge people. And certainly we've seen people in the Bible, you know, Jesus didn't really lead a quiet life. The prophets of the Old Testament, they didn't lead quiet lives. You know, Paul himself wasn't exactly leading a quiet life. Everywhere he went, you know, he preached the gospel and people got saved and riots broke out. There's a lot of activity happening around Paul. So when he says lead a quiet life, he's not telling us be invisible or don't do anything for the Lord. But what he is saying is, I think, more how we do it. We're not to draw attention to ourselves. You know, we're not to live the social media life. See, I don't think a quiet life is a social media life, where everything we say, do, and think gets posted up on social media, and we're always drawing attention to ourselves, and we're constantly promoting ourselves, and telling everybody what we're doing, and here I am here, and here I am here, and I'm doing this and doing that, here's a picture. But rather, commenting on everybody else's stuff, and what are they doing? In contrast to that, Paul says, you know what? Lead a quiet. You don't need to draw attention to yourself. Believe me, if you're living the gospel, enough attention will come to you. And it probably won't be the kind you like. Rather, what I want you to do is lead a quiet life. Don't draw attention to yourself. Stay out of other people's business, which is, you know, an important command. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It's not your concern. Stay out of other people's business. Work with your hands. So you're providing for yourself, so you don't become a burden to others. All right? Don't be dependent on anybody. Now, he's not saying that to shame those, because we all have moments in our life where we might need the help of others, you know, and certainly there's plenty of commands in the Bible about sharing and doing for others. And so we're not, you know, he's not saying that to shame people who might be in a position where they do need the help of others, because we've all been in that position before and we'll probably all be in that position again. But what he's saying is, you know, as much as you're able, if you're able to work, able to earn a living, then you need to do so. So you're not dependent upon anybody. So you're in a position to be generous. You're in a position to help others. That's our goal. Let's be in a position to help others, not be ones who are in need because we're not working. We're not laboring with our hands. And the Bible's clear. If we're able to work and have opportunity to work, then we need to work. You know, living in our mom's basement at 30 because, you know, we're too lazy to get a job. No, that's not flying. If we're able to work, we need to work. If we're able and have opportunity, we need to do it so that we don't become a burden to others, but rather are contributing. And he says, and if you live in these ways, you know, you're going to win the respect of outsiders, no matter what else they may say about you. Don't live to promote yourself. Stay out of other people's business. Work hard. That's not bad advice right there. Three simple things that if we had more of in our country and not less of, we'd all be in better shape. Amen. Thanks for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. We'll be back tomorrow. If you have a prayer request between now and then, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. You can email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. And you can always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to our website, yeshome.com, and click on the chat now button. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.